Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Kim Mankiff. And today is Tuesday, July the 1st. Boy, June went by really quick. 2014. Our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Michael, are you there?
Well, thank you, dear heart. I am here. Just needed to get to the mute button, and we're just honored and delighted for everybody that chooses to join us, every day that you choose to join us, as we join in understanding this ancient, ancient process called forgiveness. An ancient process built around the truth of how we as human beings operate, and how, if we're not operating correctly, to correct the operating system. If you had a computer that every time you gave it an instruction, which I just had one happening that way, every time you gave it an instruction, let's say you went to click a window, and when you click the window on your browser, it opened 3 other windows and changed the page that you were on. What would you do? Would you just keep going and hope that sooner or later you might get back to that original page, which I'll offer I kept trying to do that over and over and over again. It would take me about 20 operations to get to a page that I wanted to go to. Would you just keep doing that, or would you do something about correcting the operating system? And I'm thankful that Mick is here because he's an expert at computers. We're delighted that he's here on the team with us. And so he took my computer a couple days ago, went in and just cleaned up the operating system. Now I click a window and it goes where I want it to go. What would you do if your mind functioned like that operating system, that every time you click it, opens 3 different windows and leaves the page that you desire to be on and to stay on? What would you do with that mind? Well, first of all, you'd need to have some expertise on how to correct it. Where do you find that expertise? Well, if you look at this, I should say non-human mind, when you look at the mind that is not operating through a proper fuel supply. What's a proper fuel supply? Hold a newborn child. As you hold that newborn, you get a direct experience of what is meant to fuel your mind. You get a direct, awesome presence of love. I offer that when our minds are unplugged from love, we're like the computer that when you click a window, it opens 3 additional windows and navigates away from the one you want.
how can you tell if your mind is navigating away from where you want it to be? And honey, I'm hearing some banging in the background. I don't know if we can mute somebody or there's a fair bit of noise in the background here. So obviously, what you'd want to do is get some expertise and some tools to get the device back in order. My offering is that we live in a world where virtually everyone on the planet is operating like that window when you click it, it navigates away from the page you want and opens three additional random pages, all of which are trying to sell you something. We think we're sane. We think we're functional because everybody's doing it. But I would offer that the virus, the indicator that there is a virus operating your mind, much like my computer was doing a couple of days ago, the indicator that that's what's going on is that your physiology serves up some form of hostility or fear. Now, you look at the average person in their hostility or fear, and what do? They keep trying to navigate back to the window they wanted in the first place. So let's say it's an interaction and relationship, and, you know, I'm in love, I'm committed, I just want to be loving and caring and want my partner to be loving and caring and nurturing. And my partner gives me the look, and up comes my hostility or fear. I navigate away from my desire to be loving and caring, and I start to function out of corrupt data. I start to function out of another window that tries to sell me something, and it sells me the idea that my rage, my guilt, my grief, my pain, my fear are all valid things and useful and usable, and the whole world's bought that game. And my offering is that that's precisely the same as you click a link on your in a browser window, it navigates away from the page you want and opens three additional windows selling you something. It's up in the mind. But because it seems to be normal, it seems like, well, that's what everybody's doing, isn't it? Gee, my mother, my father, you know, when the stress was up and the chips are down, they got angry, they became verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, they ran away, and on and on and on. These are all the windows that open that don't have anything to do with what we originally wanted to do. And we've forgotten about what we originally wanted to do. And until we get back to removing that interruption in the process, we're in trouble. And the willingness to get back to the truth of how we operate becomes such a huge key. Film last night called The International. And some of the lines in this film are some of the most potent truths I've ever seen in a film before. And the way that it's said, you know, whoever wrote this film really had a handle on what they were doing. And I haven't looked into the history of it, but I believe it's based on, at least loosely or maybe tightly, I don't know, based on a true story about, remember there was a huge bank back, oh, 5, 6, 7 years ago that was caught in a lot of international intrigue and went bankrupt and all. So there's a woman police officer who's attempting to shut this whole illegal operation down, and her boss is on her back saying, just forget it. Just get out of there and leave it alone. And here's the dialogue, and it's so about the way our human minds work. So this female police officer says to her boss, who's railing on her to get her to drop the case, says, we're just trying to get to the truth. For she says that with great emotion because she's been watching people die over this whole thing. Her boss says, I get it. But what you need to remember is There's what people want to hear. There's what people want to believe. There is everything else, and then there is the truth. This female police officer says, again with great emotion, the truth means responsibility. And her boss replies, exactly. That's why everyone dreads it. When we stop living in the lie of corrupt data, and our offering to you is that any time that your mind is serving up a reality based in hostility or fear, you're operating out of corrupt data, you've navigated away from where you really want to live and where you really want to go. And your mind is selling you something that's insane. And it doesn't matter who you're pointing it at. If you're pointing it at yourself, if you're pointing it at your spouse, a parent, mom, dad, neighbor, employer, employee, person walking down the street, person out on the highway who cuts you off. If you're navigating away from experiencing yourself as human life, as the active presence of love, then you have a problem. Well, but Michael, what about that person who cut me off in traffic? Well, you know, maybe they just got a call that somebody's dying and they're so in overwhelm that they didn't even have room in their mind to see you. But your mind navigated away from the possibility of being aware of that as you went into that defensive space and started to maybe chase them to you know, let them know you knew they were off base. Whatever it is doesn't matter. Whatever's going on for them is what's going on for them. Police officer. That's why nobody wants the truth, because it means responsibility. The truth is, if we give up our human lives, we've given up our human lives. Whatever the reasoning is, you know, we can come up with 1,000 excuses. Whatever the reason is, if we give up the active presence of love, then we bought the farm. And what we're inviting you to do is to consider that experiencing yourself, and maybe it's difficult to do that, and so hold a newborn child. Experience that newborn child as the active presence of love, and remember that that's where you started out, and that's the only purpose you have in the world, is to hold that and bring that into expression in the world. And boy, have we been convinced to navigate away from that one. And it's just as automatic as a browser in a computer, shooting one window up after another after another. So I take this virus that infected my computer to give me that visual and that experience. You know, Jeannie can verify how many times I said I just sat there with the computer and it's like, I need to breathe. I need to do some worksheets around this. This thing is just crazy. I click a link and bang, it's off to the races. So my invitation to you is to really tap into, what are you really here for? What's it really all about? What's your relationship with your child? If you've got frustration, anger, anguish going on with your child, what's your relationship with your child really about? Someone whom you said the words, I love you to. What's your relationship really about? And has your mind opened other windows and navigated away from that and left you in the world of insanity? If it has, stop thinking about, talking about, blaming your child, your parent, your partner, and start going, my operating system's off base. I need to bring correction. Now, you could say, well, yeah, but so do they. And you're right, so do they. So they're in insane land, too. But guess what? Their correction is none of your damn business if you haven't made your own yet. So that's the challenge. And we're here to challenge you. We're also here to support you. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We want to inspire you to make use of the forgiveness process until your physiology and your mind is incapable of opening a window that navigates you away from your true purpose in life. And to support you any and every time that it does start to navigate away from that, bringing it back on track. And it's forgiveness that allows it to be brought back on track. It's forgiveness that allows you to go inside and make the correction. This is one of the reasons why the world turned the idea of forgiveness backward, because the whole world has got the understanding of the game backward. And so to recognize that my purpose first and foremost is to stay tapped into this active presence of love, which has been called the spiritual body, and remove me from that, whatever somebody else's problem is, whatever somebody else does, are you willing to be supported in that project? And, of course, there's a great line in Richard Bach's book, Illusions, that says, we teach best that which we most need to learn. And, unfortunately, most people want to hang on to what they have learned through what they've been sold by those alternative windows opening and going to the place of insanity. I happen to have a copy of Richard Bach's book, Illusions, here, and I'd like to read just a few pages from it. It's large handwriting, but it's an awesome piece where he writes a parable for exactly what we're talking about. There was a master come to the earth, born in the holy land of Indiana, raised in the mystical hills east of Fort Wayne. The master learned of this world in the public schools of Indiana, and as he grew in his trade as a mechanic of automobiles, he learned. But the master had learnings from other lands and other schools, from other times that he had experienced. He remembered these, and remembering became wise and strong, so that others saw his strength and came to him for counsel. The master believed that he had the power to help himself and all mankind, and as he believed, so it was for him, so that others saw his power and came to him to be healed of their troubles and their many diseases. The master believed that it is well for a man to think upon himself as a son of the Creator, and as he believed, so it was for him. And in the shops and the garages where he worked, they became crowded and jammed with those who sought his learning and his touch, and the streets outside with those who longed only that the shadow of his passing might fall upon them and change their lives. Because of the crowds, that the several foremen and the shop manager bid the master leave his tools and go his way, for so tightly he was thronged that neither he nor the other mechanics had room to work upon the automobiles. So it was that he went to the countryside, and people followed him and began to call him Messiah and worker of miracles. And as they believed, so it was. If a storm passed as he spoke, not a raindrop touched the listener's head. And the last of the multitude heard his words as clearly as the first. No matter lightning or thunder in the sky, and always he spoke to them in parables. And he said to them, within each of us lies the power of our consent to health and sickness, to riches and to poverty, to freedom and to slavery. It is we who control these things, and not another. And a millman spoke to him and said, easy words for you, master, for you are guided as we are not, and need not toil as we toil. A man has to work for his living in this world. The master answered and said, once there lived a creature along the bottom of a great crystal river. The current of the river swept silently over this creature and all others, young and old, rich and poor, good and evil, the current going its own way, knowing only its own crystal self. Each creature in its own manner clung tightly to the twigs and rocks of the river bottom, for clinging was their way of life, and resisting the current, what each had learned from birth. But one creature said at last, I'm tired of clinging. Though I cannot see it with my eyes, I trust that the current knows where it's going. I shall let go and let it take me where it will. Clinging, I shall die of boredom. And the other creatures laughed and said, "Fool, let go, and that current you worship will throw you tumbled and smashed across the rocks, and you will die quicker than boredom." But the one heeded the knot, and taking a breath, did let go, and at once was tumbled and smashed by the current against the rocks. Yet in time, as the creature refused to cling again, the current lifted him free from the bottom, and he was bruised and hurt no more. And the creatures downstream, to whom he was a stranger, cried, "See, a miracle! A creature like ourselves, and yet he flies. See the Messiah come to save us all." And the one carried in the current said, "I am no more Messiah than you. The river delights to lift us free if we only dare let go. Our true work is this voyage, this adventure. The things I do, you too can do." But they cried all the more, "Savior," and all the while clinging to the rocks. And when they looked again, he was gone, and they were left making legends of a Savior. What do you hold on to that keeps you from experiencing this absolutely delightful current of life and of love that you're designed to live in? If you are, then we're here to support you. We're here to understand. We're here to offer the tools. If you haven't yet accessed the tool of forgiveness, we invite you to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And in the middle of the page, you'll see a bullseye. If you click that bullseye will open a whole series of links, guide you through the how-to of forgiveness. It will give you the first century Aramaic tool of forgiveness in a worksheet format. If you download that and print it, then there are at least, I don't know exactly how many, 10 or 12 radio shows where we've walked somebody through the whole process, so you've got a full set of instructions. They're MP3s. You just right-click on them, save them to your computer, and you can listen to them on your computer. You can put them on your iPod, or if you've got an MP3 player on your phone, and listen to them. You've got full guidance on how to engage in this process of letting go of the twigs and rocks of the river bottom, the hostilities and fears of the world. So we're here to support you, and if you have any questions as you engage in that process, we'd love to hear your voice. If you happen to be on one of those stations we don't have in our control panel, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear from you. Dr. Tim with us today?
Yes, he is, and he's on.
Well, hello there, young man. How are you, sir?
I'm well. I'm driving. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
All right. Well, I'm just listening to the intro and remembering that story. I've heard you tell it before. It's a big part of the process for me. I've discovered over the years, probably the last 15 or so in doing my own work, that one of the biggest energies for me to release is the energy of fear. And so doing a lot of that, a lot of the work from last week, and recognizing my own fear of facing different angry thoughts that I've been holding on to for a long time or resisting. So my denying and suppressing angry thoughts is the same as holding on to them. It doesn't look that way to my conscious mind, but the end result is that's what ends up happening, is I store that energy of anger all the more, and then I have even greater fear that I'm going to have to deal with that angry energy one day. So then I deny it and suppress it more, and it's a vicious cycle. So
at least that's what you used to do, right?
I'm in the process of trying to peel my fingers off of the rocks and twigs at the bottom of the river and go with the current more. And
I join you.
And that's what I've been up to lately, and I had another breath session this morning that revealed more of that. There was a flash of insight at the end of it that revealed another series of fearful energies that I have been engaged in for decades. So that's what I'm up to.
Awesome. You know, it's interesting how many people would say, as they hear you say that, gee, Mike, Tim, you've been doing this work for 10 years, and you've been a psychologist for 35 years, and you're not done yet. That sounds like it's kind of hopeless. What would your response be to somebody who says, you know, if you're not finished in 35 years, if Rice over there isn't finished in 45 years, isn't it hopeless? Why should I bother?
Well, you know, my answer to that would be, I just got this picture of traveling, and if I said I wanted to get to Japan, and I started out hiking from the East Coast or riding my bike, you know, 5 or 6 months later, I could say, gee, I have failed because I'm not in Japan, but I would have those months of rich, deep experiences of viewing this gorgeous continent that we live on and getting to meet people. And so in the process of this journey, my response is my life is so much more full of life, love, relaxation, expansion, growth, healing now than it was 15 or 20 years ago, that I don't have any desire to give up the process, which my observations tell me is directly responsible for that love and growth and healing and expansion. So I view it as a process, and I view myself as loving, living, and growing in the process with no idea of what the end result would be. Because I can't yet know what I don't know.
Great way to say it. Awesome.
I keep thinking about the Way of Mastery. At one point it says, people keep wondering, how, you know, when's the end and how they can get to know themselves fully. And the Way of Mastery says, you are an infinite, expansive being of creation. How could you ever know the limits of yourself? How could you ever be done learning of yourself?
Cool. Very cool. Well, anything else to share before we check on the phone lines?
No, I think that's complete for me today.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody on the phone that might have something to share with us?
Chat room is really quiet, but we do have a hand up. Area code 810, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Dr. Tim. It's Adam from Michigan.
Hey, welcome, sir. How do you be?
I'm doing well. Doing real well. Thank you.
Good. How can we support you today? You know, I had the thought, I don't know that I mentioned the other day when you were on the show, but you know, now might be a good time to start to make plans for the intensive we're going to be doing the end of October. I think it starts October 30th for 9 days, right up in your neck of the woods, just around the corner. So,
end of October, you said?
Say again?
Oh, the end of October?
The end of October. We're going to be in Pinckney, Michigan, doing a 9-day intensive.
Okay, hold on one moment. I'm just writing that down.
It starts on October 31st and goes to November the 8th in Pinckney.
So I guess we'll have a Halloween party the opening night. We'll do a Halloween thing, get everybody dressed up. That ought to be fun.
Oh, yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah. Great. So how can we support you today? What's going on in your world?
Well, I just had a thought triggered when you were talking about, you know, just taking, so, you know, 35 years and still not complete, or 10 years, still not complete. And I just remember,
right,
you know, I used to do a bunch of different spiritual paths, and for a while I was doing these 10-day meditation intensives, and And during that, they would say, I mean, they called it Dhamma, but, you know, it's basically in tune with the laws of living. You know, it's good in the, you know that it's true and pure if it's good in the middle, good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end. And it has benefit, you know, fruits or benefits with each step on the path. And, you know, that's definitely my experience with the forgiveness work is, you know, every step that I take, it's, you know, life seems to expand in a positive way.
Good way to say it. Good input.
Yeah, even
you.
If not, yeah. Yeah, even if not complete after some years, it's still, you know, life has been upgraded. So.
Definitely a huge upgrade from the from what we've been sold by the errant mind. So definitely moves things forward, doesn't it? Pretty exciting.
It is, yeah, I agree. So, but yeah, that's basically all I want to share. I just got a few minutes left in my lunch hour. I've been happy I've been able to tune in every day because my lunch hour syncs with this, or lunch half hour. Yeah, and I would love to come to that intensive. It's just, you know, I hope I can work it out with my child custody stuff and work schedule.
Cool.
So,
what age is your son now?
He's five. He just turned five in June.
So five's a perfect time for him to start to get the tools, bring him to the intensive.
Oh, I can bring him to the intensive.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
It's a perfect time.
Oh, wow.
We've had kids. I don't know if you've been listening on Mondays to parent-teacher talk, but we've had kids as young as four successfully using that worksheet process with support and help.
Oh, wow.
And what a time to build the brain cells. What a time to be in the space of give love and build the brain cells where I can do it differently than the culture is doing it. You know, I think about myself as a kid. I can remember when I was a kid, you know, one of the big things was to do sports. And so, and I'm talking when I was just a little guy. And, you know, I was born and raised in winter, something I learned that they had a place without any, and I moved south. But, you know, at four or five, they put a pair of skates on you and put a hockey stick in your hand. Now, that's great. It's some awesome hockey players, you know, I'm over the years. But when I think about how much time, intelligence, money, and energy my parents, I played in a company league. The company that my father worked from had a hockey league and a baseball league. I played in a, when I think about how much time, intelligence, money, and energy my parents put into uniforms and skates and hockey sticks and baseball bats and all of that, and how much energy I was encouraged to put into competing with others to win. If when I were that age, someone had said, son, instead of spending all this money on baseball and hockey and, you know, and teaching you to compete, here's what we're going to invest in. We're going to invest in teaching you to care, to be a human being, to love, and to heal these generational issues that, you know, mom and dad haven't completely worked through yet, that the culture hasn't worked through yet. I think about that, and if I'd have been given that foundation compared to the foundation I was given, how different my world would be today? We were actually out in Portland, Oregon, and there was a gentleman there that I'd kind of lost track of. He lived in St. Louis, and 22 years ago, when his daughter was 8, he came to an intensive or a summer program here, and he did 3 months with his 8-year-old daughter. Jeannie and I sat and had lunch with them, and maybe Jeannie could give her impression because she was, you know, new to the whole conversation, but I sat there in tears as this young woman who's now 30 and a doctor is sharing how coming to Heartlands for 3 months at 8 years of age set the whole tone of her life, the whole path that she's gone on, and she's an awesome healer and functions as a conscious, loving person and just, you know, a whole different world. Jeannie, do you have anything to share about listening to
You're talking about Dessa? Diane?
No, I'm talking about Dessa. As we had lunch with her when we were out there with Diane.
Yeah,
Diane
she actually said that, you know, even though she didn't
like do the worksheets every day and things like that, but the experience that she had there to see how people lovingly treated each other and worked together and things like that, that it influenced her life, and that's why she's like an acupuncturist and working on healing people and working with them. And she was one of the few that you had mentioned before, that there was a gentleman when we were in Biscayne Bay who said that his father fit the description of what you described in talking about responsibility communication. And she said that she had that same experience, that because her father had studied with you, that she was raised with that responsibility communication too. So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, when we demonstrate the difference between projection communication and responsibility communication, I'll ask the question after a demonstration, you know, so how many were brought up with the dad or the mom that, you know, when there was whatever happened in the family that the dad or the mom said, you know, dear wife or dear husband, when this and thus happens, that really brings up a lot of sadness or fear or anger for me. Would you support me in healing my sadness or fear or anger? We've now had, in 25 years of asking that question, I've had two people who, when I asked that question, were you brought up with that dad or that mom, raised their hand. One of them was a young man who was 23. We were on a ship, actually on a yacht in Biscayne Bay, and we were invited to present the Why workshop. And when I asked that question, he put up his hand. His father had studied with me 25 years earlier. And the second time I've had that happen in all the years I've been asking the question was when we were out in Portland, Oregon just a few weeks ago, and this young lady, Desta, raises her hand. Yeah, I was brought up with that dad. And one of the things that she shared as part of that process was how things she got at 8 years of age. You know, her father and her mother were divorced. And at 8 years of age, the biggest thing that she came away from that whole summer with was realizing that she wasn't to blame for their divorce. Because until she came here that summer, she was to blame in her mind. And she freed herself of that. I've never met a child from a divorced home as an adult that didn't on some level feel like it was their fault that their parents divorced. 5 is a perfect time to be introducing kids. It's an awesome time. And 5 and on up, and just give them the tools and watch the healing happen. Do you think your life would be different, Adam, if at 5 you started doing worksheets and being introduced to the commitment and the idea of interdependent relationship as opposed to codependent? Would your life be different? You still with us, Adam?
I think he's dropped off, so maybe he'll call right back in.
Oh, yeah. Well, he said he had to get back to lunch. He just had a few minutes left, so.
Right.
So we've probably been going on talking to him, and he hasn't been there because he had to go back to lunch, but he'll get to listen to it in the archives, maybe.
Right. Yes, he will.
Cool. Well, is anybody else, anything happening in the chat room, or anybody else with a hand up that would like to share?
The discussion in the chat room is just that the whole process is an ongoing journey, and you know that it's as important, if not more important, than the destination, and just to continue working on herself and being conscious of it. And someone in the chat room said that, you know, when they go through a time of, say, quote-unquote, taking a vacation from their inner work, that the world shows up differently. And I said, yeah, that you mention often that if time goes by, you know, a specific time that perhaps we're not doing travel workshops or not doing an intensive or whatever, that you can even feel yourself slipping back to karma-based memory, that it's just it's got to be a constant process.
Yeah, for sure. It is.
And one of the things.
Go ahead, sweetie.
I was just going to say one of the things, you know, like Brian wasn't raised with this work, but and I know like your children were, and they're not practicing it all the time, but in both your kids' cases and mine, they know that it works, and, you know, there's times in all of their lives then when something comes up that they turn back to it because they know that it works and it'll get them over that hump. And I was honored. We were talking last night to my son and his wife, and I said, well, you know, when we get back from the fourth, I said, we definitely need to set aside an evening to breathe you. And they were like, yeah, we want to do that, and also we want you to breathe. And they named two of their friends and said, you know, they may be resistant, but you made a good suggestion last night to let Ryan and Gabby be participants in the facilitating of their friend's breathing. And so I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah. Very cool. That's awesome. Well, fun. Maybe your mom will even join you. How cool would that be?
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? So 646-200-4169 is our calling number. Without any waiting, you would be next in line if you put your hand up and ask your question. And we're here to support you in fully understanding and engaging in these tools and living in these tools. Changes everything. And so if Jeannie and I had just been on the platform doing a workshop and had the conversation we've had in the last 40 minutes or so, and we completed and we stepped down and walked off the platform, and you were in the audience, would you be walking over to us with a question? If so, then this is the space to have a personal conversation and ask your question. That's what we're here for. So again, if you're on a station we don't have access to through our control panel, 646-200-4169. That's the calling number. And if you're on the phone line, push 1. And, you know, sometimes people go, oh, you know, the radio, it's public. My voice gets quivery. I don't want to do it. Okay, so let go of that one. Forgive that one. Cancel your goal to sound good and look good. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, well, I just don't like my voice. Okay, so cancel your need to like your voice. Let go of it. Ask your question. It's a whole lot more important than looking good. So, Jeannie, do we have anybody with a hand up?
No, nobody has a hand up, and there's no question in the chat room.
Let me talk a little bit about... Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was trying to think of a way of wording a question that someone had asked me the other day, and I gave them a mind shifter, and I'm supposed to meet with her when I get back. I'm not sure how to ask this on the radio show. The husband has had cancer surgery, and it has changed some of his body functions. And
right.
She has a definite need that is still going on. So he's not being, and he doesn't want to talk about it, which I'm sure he feels.
Right.
His own,
big one.
You know, I'm not a man or whatever. And
yep.
So I gave her a mind shifter. She's, of course, going through, I'm being rejected. And she understands in her head, you know, that it's a physical issue that he, at this point, can't have any control over. But it's bringing up a lot of rejection for her. So I'm working with her on that. I gave her a mind shifter, and when I get back from our family reunion, I plan on breathing her as well. My last week
right.
here after I get back from this reunion has turned into a very busy week.
You're going to have a busy week, yes.
Yeah, I've got confirmation that I'm going to be at the mental health facility Monday, and then I have 2 workshops scheduled with the doctor's office, and so already scheduling November when we get back, so it's really turning into a busy week. But I'm not real sure, even myself. I'm doing some work around it, of that feeling of not having physical needs needs met, and, you know, how to tell her to address that, because obviously he can't change a lot of it, and I know that her workaround it is her past feeling of rejection. So do you have anything that you could offer me to help her in that?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. You know, we live in a culture that wants to keep all the conversation nice and not talk about sometimes what's real, and creating a space of safety to speak about what's real in their relationship. I mean, I can only imagine, and I'm assuming that he's had prostate cancer and probably had his prostate removed. And so if that's accurate, then sexual function has fallen by the wayside. And so for him to start to forgive what's in him about manhood relying on sexuality and recognize that relationship, that intimacy is a whole lot more than just sexuality. And if their intimacy has been built around sexuality, then this is an opportunity for them both to forgive, to remove those old taboos, communicate about, in a really intimate way, about really intimate things, as opposed to being defensive and protective. And, you know, just, I mean, it's going to be a huge piece of work for them to do, to be able to clean that up. And sadly, if they don't do it, that could be, unfortunately, the thing that leads to divorce. And so being able to communicate about those things, probably having her watch the communication, did you hear what I think I said, and create a space of safety. You know, a lot of times we men have been, you know, programmed with these big macho egos and all, and the truth is underneath it, the reason for the macho stuff is fragility. It's just, you know, most men, as little boys, were not treated as human beings. In fact, in many cases, they were treated brutally, and the pain to deal with there is just huge. And location of a lot of that energy is the genitals, which is why we see a lot of women with breast cancer and men with prostate cancer, women with cervical cancer, because the sexuality is so closed down. It's not allowed to be dealt with. The truth isn't allowed to be told. We're not allowed to experience those things. And so the first one would be to perhaps move into the communication skill, you know, invite her to really work with the communication tool, maybe send her a copy of that worksheet and create a space of safety. The next thing I would suggest is, you know, is there a possibility that he would work with you with her to open that space? And then for them to perhaps, as opposed to seeing this as a terrible tragedy, which I can certainly imagine, you know, my projection of it would be easy to understand how that could be seen as a really terrible tragedy, that perhaps this could be open a new adventure for them in intimacy, and that they might start to educate themselves about other ways of being intimate than just through genital contact, and that in seeing it as, you know, an opportunity to create different forms of intimacy might open some excitement in their lives again, to bring back some of the dynamics of relationship. And of course, you know, I think I know who you're talking about, and I suspect that they've been together for many decades, and there are probably just a ton of issues around intimacy. And, you know, it's going to have to start to bring those up and start to work through them. It's going to be no small task. It's definitely a big one. Thought I have is, and I don't know, you know, whether her husband has any interest in being supported in dealing with some of these issues, but, you know, for the two of them to come and do codependence, the interdependence communication practicum would open a huge space for them to be able to deal with those issues. And in so doing, I think there would be monumental healing. So you might just, you know, it's not likely something that from their living room they're going to work through. They're going to need some bigger support than that.
It's
not something that they're going to, you know, take a worksheet and go home and say, oh, yeah, well, we'll work this all through. It's going to take bigger support than that. And, you know, is it important enough? And of course, everybody's always got the story about, well, I'm too busy and I don't have money and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, what's really important to invest, certainly, if you can inspire her to see this as an opportunity for healing and growth, then the sky's the limit. So that would be my input in it. Definitely delicate and difficult for the average person to deal with. Dr. Tim, do you have any thoughts in that regard?
Just to echo what you've already said, and I was thinking the same thing, it's not the kind of thing they're likely to just sit down with some worksheets and process. So I think excellent suggestions all.
It's huge.
Yeah, she said that he won't even talk about it with her when she tries to talk about it. So there, it is definitely presenting a challenge for them right now.
Well, that's where I'm offering that. If she takes the seven-step communication process, that as opposed to he's got to talk about it, that she can open up her issues, communicate them responsibly, and perhaps that will create a space where they can start to open. But again, with several decades of relationship and, you know, with a religious background that's pretty puritanical and, you know, sexual taboos and all, not likely something they're going to open on their own. They're going to need some professional support. So you might suggest they, you know, find a psychologist locally that might be able to help them, or that communication codependence intensive, I think would be a perfect space to open it. And knowing who's going to be here for that workshop, it would probably be a really powerful gift for everybody that would be here.
Awesome. I'll do that.
That would be my best input. And, you know, aside from that, they need a professional. It's very unlikely they're going to do it on their own. They need help. I mean, it's just like mind-boggling how big the issues are going to be to open that up after, you know, I don't know what, about three decades of marriage and a fear-based sexuality in their upbringing and their religion. Just going to take support. And I certainly hold her in my heart. I hold them both in my heart and in the space that they're able to move into the place where they can trust each other enough to let all of that open. And it's huge. So I certainly hold a lot of compassion for them and what they're going to go through and what they're going to have to look at and deal with to open the space. We'll hold the space for them.
Thank you. There is a conversation. It's a little different in the chat room, but we've got just a few minutes, and since nobody has their hand up, talking about, you know, a lot of children maybe wouldn't be interested in doing this kind of work or whatever, that it seems like people, as they get later in life, then they start focusing on, you know, they've got enough pain and through their experiences and stuff that they start really seeking answers. And you've referred to that as being the 40 years in the desert and finally getting around to saying, hey, what's going on here? And it would be possible if a child, you know, we all come in with the genetics of their families, you know, fears and hostilities and all of that. And they're there with the potential of being triggered. And what is the possibility that a child could actually come into the world and be raised in the total space of love and that not get triggered in their life? And that would be challenging because most of the parents don't have a clue that it can be done different than the way that they were raised. And
right.
So those fears and hostilities are triggered in the child. But we have seen, it was awesome, when you were telling Adam that we've had children as young as four, I always go back and think of when Carrie's children were there, the whole family was there. And the daughter was 5 years old, and their son, I think, was eight, and they were doing energy work on each other, breathing each other. They were awesome working with each other. And they even held their parents accountable, you know, have you done your 5 worksheets today? And so the kids really grabbed onto it. And then the second thought I had was when we did Laws of Living about 3 years ago, we had 4 kids that were under the age of, I think, 11. And finally, Michael had to tell them to quit answering the questions to give the adults a chance because they were popping in with the answers before we could ever even get it out of our mouths. And they were just like right there. They grabbed it. And so I think it is very possible. And, yeah, you know, they get on with their life and get busy and perhaps don't do it all the time. But what a difference it does make, whether they hang on to it forever, you know, and do it every day in their life, or whether they just turn to it when they, you know, need a shovel to get themselves out of the pit. But it works,
well,
and it changes their life.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that conversation up, sweetie. This morning I was talking to someone who had considered bringing a 9-year-old with him to an intensive, and the 9-year-old was kind of like, well, I don't know, you know, the 9-year-old thing, my friends and all of that, and the parent expressed the desire to come, but, you know, I don't want to disturb the child's life, I don't know, and when they actually put it out to the 9-year-old child, the 9-year-old said, well, Mom, why don't you just tell me that we're going? It's just like real straightforward. It's like, why are we doing this whole conversation? Mom, why don't you just tell me that we're going? And her mother, you know, the woman who I'm talking about, she had been here at Heartland for a year about 14 years ago and raised her children on these principles. And actually, she was, when we were talking this morning, she talked to Ari for a minute, was on speakerphone, and she was saying, the reason that I've been able to mother my kids the way that I've mothered them is that behind me, and, you know, the 9-year-old being aware of that just said, well, why don't you just say we're going, Mom? Is that a real simple solution? In any event, we're down to the last few minutes. We appreciate you. We're delighted that you're here to share with us. If you're ready to take your work to the next level, Monday starts. 10-day food, fund, forgiveness, and work program. Then we go into a 16-day codependence to interdependence communication practicum. 9-day wise, this happens to me again. 9-day teacher training, then 17-day laws of living. So that'll be our summer season here at Heartland. If you're ready to crank it up to the next level, go to whyagain.org, take a look at the schedule, decide which workshop you're going to do, come and play. It will change your life for eternity. In the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. Nicest gift you can give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.